Thanks for listening to the History Buff podcast with your resident history buff and Berlin tour guide, Arty. If you're enjoying the podcast, then you can really, really help us by liking and sharing the episodes on social media and rating the podcast on your streaming platform. If you'd like to see more History Buff content, then please give us a follow on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Links are in the show notes. Thank you for your support. In this episode, we will explore the intriguing downfall of Nicolae Ceaușescu, the Romanian communist dictator from 1965 until his downfall in the 1989 Romanian Revolution. This event stands out as the sole instance of a violent conclusion to a communist regime, contrasting with the otherwise peaceful collapses observed across the Eastern Bloc and the Soviet Union. Nicolae Ceaușescu, born in 1918 in Scornicești, in rural Romania about 150 kilometers west of Bucharest, was the third of 10 children raised in a peasant household. He left home at just 11 years old for Bucharest, where he became an apprentice shoemaker. He became involved in the communist youth movement from a young age, and this led to multiple arrests and imprisonments, which meant that he spent the whole of the Second World War in various prison and internment camps. After the Second World War, like most Eastern European countries that were liberated by the Soviets, a communist government was installed in Bucharest, the capital of what would become, in 1947, the Romanian People's Republic. In May 1948, Ceaușescu became Secretary of the Ministry of Agriculture, eventually rising to Deputy Minister and later assuming the role of Deputy Minister in charge of the armed forces, despite lacking military experience. Ceaușescu's rapid ascent through the Communist Party of Romania, or CPR, continued as he became first deputy to the Ministry of Defence and head of the Army's higher political directorate, eventually achieving the rank of Lieutenant General. Following the death of the first CPR leader, Gheorghe Gheorghiu Dez, on the 19th of March 1965, Ceaușescu faced internal challenges, despite his close ties to the deceased leader. However, disputes among older officials within the Politburo led to a compromise, and Ceaușescu was elected General Secretary and leader of the CPR on the 22nd of March 1965, just 3 days after Gheorgheu Dez's passing. In 1967, Ceaușescu further solidified his power by assuming the presidency of the State Council, officially becoming the head of state. Initially somewhat liberal, President Ceaușescu eased censorship and condemned the 1968 Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia. However, by 1971, he shifted back, adopting Chinese communist practices through the issuance of the July Theses and the imposition of socialist humanism. Ceaușescu actively pursued improved relations with the non-aligned Yugoslavia and even fostered friendly ties with the anti-communist regime of colonels in Greece to encourage collaboration in the region. Diplomatically, militarily, economically, and culturally, he strategically distanced Romania from the Soviet Union. Notably, decision-making regarding appointments and promotions occurred domestically, rather than being influenced by the Soviet Union. Romania's military strategy further set it apart from the Warsaw Pact, or Eastern Bloc states, emphasizing a defensive approach known as People's War, akin to guerrilla tactics employed by neighboring Yugoslavia. Despite maintaining allegiance to the global communist movement, Ceaușescu elevated Romanian national traditions and the concept of the nation to a status equal to and inseparable from Marxism-Leninism, which was the chief ideology of the Eastern Bloc states, which advocated for a dictatorship of the working class. Ceaușescu's economic policies prioritized heavy industry investments at the expense of immediate consumption, aiming to fulfill the 1971 to 1975 plan in an ambitious 4.5 years. However, the intensified investment rate announced at the 1974 11th Party Congress led to widespread discontent. In 1981, Ceaușescu initiated spending cuts to address the country's massive debt, resulting in severe limitations on food, clothing, and fuel. This austerity contributed to high levels of poverty, with Romania experiencing the highest infant mortality rate in Europe. Political repression under the Securitate, Romania's secret police, created an atmosphere of fear. Despite economic hardships, Ceausescu focused on grand construction projects like the House of the Republic, now the Romanian Parliament, exacerbating the disconnect between the leadership and the struggling populace. Ceausescu's denial of HIV transmission through sex and the prohibition of contraception led to unnecessary deaths. Stringent family rules included fines for married women without children, mandatory monthly pregnancy tests, and suspicions surrounding miscarriages. Ceausescu's regime created a challenging environment marked by economic hardship, political repression, and strict social controls. Despite abundant natural resources and high electricity generation in 1985, the mismanagement of resources meant that by 1989, electricity was having to be rationed so severely that streets were poorly lit and Romanians were left freezing in their homes without heating. Inspired by North Korea's Kim Il-sung and China's Mao Zedong, Nicolae Ceausescu initiated a personality cult in 1971, reversing liberalization and emphasizing strict nationalism. Initially centered on Ceausescu, the cult expanded to include the president's influential wife, Elena, in the early 1980s. Drawing inspiration from Jiang Qing, wife of Mao Zedong, Elena rose through the CPR, ultimately becoming a member of the Permanent Bureau of the Political Executive Committee. Simultaneously, her own cult of personality grew, notably fueled by praise for her as an academic genius, despite her elementary school education. To bolster her image further, Elena was awarded a doctorate in chemistry, reflecting the intensification of the Ceausescu regime's personality cult. Indeed, by 1989, the Ceausescus had come to dominate every aspect of life in the regime, with their photos displayed in public places and at public events. The 1989 uprising in Romania was fueled by several key factors. Firstly, a shift in power away from communist parties in Poland, Hungary, and Czechoslovakia, coupled with the fall of the Berlin Wall in November 1989 and the overthrow of Bulgarian leader Todor Zhukov, signalled the failure of communist ideology in Eastern Europe. Secondly, Ceausescu's deliberate isolation from the leadership in Moscow in the late 1980s severed ties with the Soviet Union's reforms under Gorbachev, further distancing Romania from the changing political landscape. Gorbachev himself is said to have despised Ceausescu and thought of him as a dinosaur from the old guard, in the same way he thought of East Germany's Erich Honecker. Thirdly, the population suffered from a lack of essential resources, such as food and energy, contributing to widespread discontent. Fourthly, the excessive repression by the government, enforced by the Securitate, stifled dissent and isolated the country from the international community. The initial spark for the revolution occurred in Timișoara, a city in western Romania, on the 16th of December 1989, when attempts to evict Hungarian Reformed Church pastor Laszlo Tukes led to protests. The demand from the protesters at this early stage was the release of Tukes, marking the beginning of broader calls for political change. On the 15th of December 1989, a vigil at the Hungarian Reformed Church in Timișoara escalated as Romanian sympathizers joined. Provoked by plainclothes policemen, the first clash occurred. By the evening of the 16th of December, the crowd grew with young people and students chanting "Freedom!" and "Down with Ceausescu!" New slogans emerged and the crowd marched to the Communist Party headquarters in the city, breaking windows, destroying the flag, and burning books by Ceausescu. Troops with heavy sticks and tear gas attacked, but more people joined from Timișoara's suburbs. On the 17th of December, Securitate agents broke into the Reformed Church, beat Reverend Laszlo Tukes and arrested him. Despite a show of strength by the army and security police, thousands of protesters proceeded to gather in the city centre. They forcefully entered the party headquarters, cut the communist coat of arms out of the Romanian flag, and set fire to the ground floor. A young girl displayed the flag with a hole in it from the balcony, symbolizing the beginning of the Romanian Revolution. After 8 p.m, intense shooting occurred from Liberty Square to the Opera, with tanks, trucks, and armored personnel carriers blocking city access. Helicopters flew overhead, and protests settled down after midnight. By Monday, the 18th of December, Timișoara resembled a city under occupation, with a significant military presence, crowded hospitals, secret burials of dead bodies, numerous arrests, beatings, and torture. Access roads were blocked, and telephone lines were cut. On the 21st of December 1989, Ceausescu made a speech on the balcony of the Central Committee building, in front of what is now called Revolution Square in Bucharest. It was meant to be a scripted rally organized by the CPR, with red banners and giant placards with Ceausescu's image among a crowd of workers gathered for the occasion. CPR activists were present to maintain order and orchestrate cheers at designated moments, aiming for a choreographed demonstration typical of Ceausescu's past events. As Ceausescu began praising the regime and condemning dissidents who sparked the rebellion in Timișoara, an unexpected turn of events unfolded. Amidst the crowd, people started booing, yelling accusations like "thieves" and "murderer," drowning out the scripted narrative. The confusion on Ceausescu's face was evident, revealing his detachment from the unfolding reality. In contrast, his wife, Elena, took the microphone and yelled back, calling on the people to shut up and listen. Faced with escalating unrest, Ceausescu switched tactics, making promises such as doubling the monthly minimum wage. However, the crowd remained unruly, with some approaching the building and breaching the barriers. Military guards appeared hesitant to intervene, and the Securitate awaited clear orders. Eventually, a Securitate chief advised Ceausescu to leave the balcony, anticipating violence. Failing to control the crowd, the Ceausescu sought refuge in the Central Committee building as an open revolt unfolded down below in Bucharest University Square. Despite facing resistance, the military apparatus in Bucharest, concentrated and formidable, cleared the streets by midnight, arresting hundreds in the process. The next day, on the morning of the 22nd of December, the rebellion spread nationwide, fueled by the suspicious death of Vasily Milia, Ceausescu's defense minister, later confirmed as suicide. Ceausescu then assumed leadership of the army. Mistakenly believing Milia had been murdered, army soldiers switched sides en masse, abandoning loyalty to the government. Ceausescu attempted a final time to address the crowd outside the Central Committee building, but on the balcony, he was hurled with stones and other projectiles from the protesters below. Ceausescu, his wife, and their entourage abruptly retreated inside. Outside, the crowd breached the barriers and stormed the building, nearly capturing Ceausescu. He, Elena, and his entourage managed to escape into a lift just as the protesters entered the main offices. Fleeing up to the roof, the Ceausescus then boarded a helicopter, narrowly avoiding capture. The Ceausescus were flown in the helicopter to their Snagov residence, about 40 kilometers north of Bucharest, and later flew to Târgoviște. Abandoning the helicopter near Boteni, they reached Târgoviște in cars commandeered by Securitate officers. Hiding in a forest until nightfall, they were eventually found and arrested by revolutionaries. The announcement of the Ceausescu's arrest was met with cheers from revolutionaries in the Romanian national television studios. On the 24th of December, the Superior Military Council, with CPR figures like Ion Iliescu and Petre Roman, who would later become president and prime minister respectively, decided to establish an exceptional military tribunal for their trial. The outcome of this trial had already been decided. General Victor Stanilescu was appointed by Ion Iliescu to organize the trial, held within the headquarters of Military Unit UM-01417 Târgoviște. On the 25th of December at 5:30 a.m, the Ceausescus were brought to the garrison's command office for the trial. Throughout the trial, Ceausescu maintained his defiance, repeatedly refusing to acknowledge the court's authority, and insisting that he was still president of Romania. The charges against Nicolae and Elena Ceausescu included genocide, involving over 60,000 victims, and also subversion of state power through organizing armed actions against the people and government, destruction of public property through damaging buildings and causing explosions in cities, undermining the national economy, and attempting to escape the country using funds exceeding $1 billion deposited in foreign bank accounts. Prosecutor Dan Voinia sought the death penalty for the crimes mentioned in the charges. The Ceausescu's trial, lasting just under an hour, was marked by significant irregularities and lack of due process. Ceausescu defended himself by arguing that the tribunal was unconstitutional and that only the Great National Assembly had the authority to depose him. He asserted that the trial was a coup organized by the Soviets. Not a shred of evidence was brought forth by the prosecution to substantiate any of the charges. One particularly contentious claim was the one that the Ceausescus had $1 billion in foreign bank accounts. However, no evidence supporting the existence of such accounts was ever found. The judge's verdict theoretically allowed for an appeal to a higher court, but events were moving too quickly to save the Ceausescus. The couple were swiftly convicted of all charges and sentenced to death in what many historians agree was at best a show trial and at worst a kangaroo court. Before the execution, Nicolae Ceausescu expressed disdain for the proceedings, stating, "We could have been shot without this masquerade." At 4 p.m. that same day, Nicolae and Elena Ceausescu had their hands bound behind their backs. They were brought to stand in front of a toilet block at the military base where they had been tried and sentenced. Facing them was a firing squad, mainly composed of paratroop regiment soldiers. As they were brought before the firing squad, Elena screamed, "You sons of bitches!" while Nicolae started singing the Internationale. The firing squad started shooting as soon as the couple was positioned against the wall. The execution happened so quickly that the television crew assigned to document it only managed to capture the last round of bullets, just as the Ceausescus were falling to the ground. The images of the execution were then broadcast on Romanian television later that day and were released to the West the following day. In 1990, a member of the National Salvation Front, the hastily organized communist opposition to Ceausescu, reported finding 120 bullets in the Ceausescu's bodies. The bodies of the Ceausescus were then taken to Bucharest and buried in the Ghencea Cemetery later that day. The new Romanian Prime Minister, Petre Roman, would later tell French television that the reason the Ceausescus were executed so quickly was because the military tribunal had heard rumours of a loyalist plot to rescue the couple. As the political landscape took shape, Romania's new parliament comprised of two chambers, the Deputies' Assembly, with 396 members, and the Senate, with 119 members. In the May 1990 election, the National Salvation Front emerged as the dominant force, securing 66.4% of the seats in the Deputies' Assembly and 77.3% in the Senate. Other parties, such as the Hungarian Democratic Union and the National Liberal Party, held smaller shares of seats. The political scene was in a state of flux, reflecting both the legacy of the revolution and the challenges of establishing a stable and inclusive government. Today, Romanians are divided about Ceausescu's legacy. Some view him as a villain, while others see him as a flawed but ultimately benevolent leader. Ceausescu's supporters point to his achievements in industrialization, education, and healthcare. Under his rule, Romania became a self-sufficient industrial power, and literacy rates soared, especially amongst the working class and rural populations. He also built a vast network of hospitals and clinics, improving the population's health. Ceausescu, while navigating the complexities of the Cold War, notably distinguished himself by maintaining a measured distance from the Kremlin, avoiding excessive pandering to Soviet interests. However, Ceausescu's critics argue that he presided over one of the toughest dictatorships in the Eastern Bloc, with heavy suppression of opposition through the Securitate, using tactics reminiscent of Stalin to root out dissent. Critics also say he focused too much on being a cult figure. He lived in lavishly decorated palaces, epitomized by the opulent grandeur of the People's Palace in Bucharest, the world's largest and most expensive administrative building, which reflected his extravagant lifestyle amidst the stark realities faced by the Romanian people. People also argue that his industrialization policies came at a significant cost. He poured vast resources into heavy industry, neglecting other sectors of the economy such as agriculture and consumer goods. Ceausescu's legacy in Romania is nuanced, like all history, with views divided between those who see him as a strong leader asserting national independence and others who remember a regime marked by oppression and economic hardship. The nation remains caught between conflicting narratives reflecting the enduring complexities of its post-communist history. Thank you very much for listening to this episode on the fall of Romanian dictator Ceausescu. The original episode was actually longer than 20 minutes, as there was too much to fit into that amount of time. So if you'd like to listen to the full-length version of Ceausescu's Fall and the Romanian Revolution, and if you'd like access to other bonus content, please subscribe to the History Buff Patreon. Thanks very much, and see you next time. Goodbye.